Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Before you came to Christ, you could do things and your conscience would never be struck. But once you came to Jesus, God did some things inside of you. He changed you. One of those things that He changed is He repaired your severed or your burned out conscience. And He gave you a softness once again to the things that you do that are wrong. So that when you do them, your conscience is struck and the devil knows that, and then he comes in and he assaults you.
God's grace is amazing and all-encompassing for sure. But learning and growing in His ways means we desire and seek His righteousness. And the more we do that, hopefully the more we walk in His ways. With more on conscience and conviction of a believer out of Romans 13, 1 through 8, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
God's the one that established authority. I could use a different word here. God's the one that established government. God's the one that has put government in a place to care for us, to make a safe environment for us and our family. It's God's idea. It doesn't mean that every police officer, that everyone who is in government is godly. You know, maybe you could even say contrary to that. There are a few that are, but nevertheless, they're ministers of God. Isn't that an interesting thought? There could be somebody who doesn't know Jesus and yet they are a minister of Jesus because He has put them there to care for us, to make sure that we don't have tyrants among us that make our lives absolutely miserable. Now he goes on to say, there is no authority except from God, so we need to be subject to it. Number two, this is a little more difficult to take, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. This tells us that Nero had been appointed by God. How could God appoint Nero to be the emperor of the world with all of the incredible evils that Nero was involved in? Because God not only raises up people to bless a nation, sometimes God raises up people to judge a nation. Sometimes God gives people exactly what they want because He wants to bring judgment into that nation. God does do that. And so we come to our nation today and to our president. And God is the one who appoints them. What this means is that you and I need to pray for these men. We need to seek God for their sake. And I'll ask you this question. Have you been walking in love towards our president? I pray that he would have success that would help the United States. I pray that he would be blessed. I pray that what he does would cause the United States to be blessed. I pray that he would have insight and wisdom. I'll tell you what, folks, you and I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We have two rogue nations right now in North Korea and Iran. Both of them are trying as fast as they can to gain nuclear weapons. We don't know how far along they are. We don't know what actions are going to need to be taken. And this man has his finger on the trigger. He is the one who can make the decisions that there would be a nuclear strike, and you better be praying that he has wisdom. If he doesn't have the real Christians behind him praying for him, how is he ever really going to effectively be able to, as God wants him to, minister to this nation? Now, that doesn't mean you have to pray for certain policies you don't agree with. I'm talking about praying for the man. I pray for certain policies not to pass. But as far as the man goes, I want the best for him. I want him to succeed. I want him to help the United States out. I want the best for him. I do not want the worst for him. And that ought to be the case for all of us. Because he's there because God appointed him. As I said, God's sovereign. God didn't have to have him there. But God has him there. Therefore, we need to be praying for him. He says, verse 2, therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinances of God. If you go against government, then you're going to go against God. And those who resist will be bringing judgment upon themselves. You're eventually going to get arrested. Bad thing to kind of go up against the government. For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing good, you're not terrified when you see a cop. If you're going down the road, you know, drinking your smoothie, you're as happy as can be. If you're going down the road toking on something you shouldn't be smoking and you see a cop, all of a sudden there is great terror in your heart. And because you start driving 5 miles an hour, he's probably going to pull you over and you're going to have a lot of trouble. because of the tear. True story. I'm going down the road the other day, and I am going the speed limit. Shock of all shocks. I have a little bit of a lead foot, and I do have a hemi, as I said. So those two things kind of fight with each other. And I've started using my cruise control in town because I just kind of get lost in whatever I'm thinking, and there I go. But I'm going down the road, and I'm going the speed limit, which is good. And I don't see this police officer there because I'm in my own world until I'm almost right on top of him. And he's on the side road, and he's got his radar gun pointing at me. So I'm driving down, and I look up, and terror strikes my heart. Just like it says here, it says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works." So I'm going down the road, and I suddenly have this terror. And even though I'm going the speed limit, I have this response of slamming on my brakes. So I see him like, "Oh, a cop," and I hit my brakes. By this time, I'm going like 30. It's like a 40. I'm going like 30. And I catch eye contact with him, and he's laughing at me. He has watched this whole thing happen. He's watching me. He knows I'm going the speed limit. Then he sees me see him and slam on my brakes. And then he sees me go by at 30. And he's smiling, chuckling. I scared that guy. I scared him really good. I just scared that guy bad. Well, if I'd never gotten a ticket, you know, I wouldn't be scared. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Then do what is good, he says in verse 3. And you will have praise from the same. Now, this next verse is an interesting verse. For he is God's minister to you for good. They're put there by God to be a servant to us. But if you do evil, be afraid. And I can't help but hear Yoda's voice here. Be very afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. Now, in our day, he wouldn't say he doesn't bear the sword in vain. He doesn't bear the 6-hour, 9mm or the Glock 40 caliber in vain. He carries those guns because God has given him the authority to use it. And I'll just say this to the police officers that are here. I realize how difficult it is when a shooting takes place and someone is hurt, and really bad when someone is killed. And you lay in bed and you think over the process and think whether or not something could have been done different and whether it really had to take place. And you understand that God has given you that authority to protect us. And that you are there for that very purpose. And I realize you'll still struggle through those things, but knowing that God has put them there for that purpose and given them, this is the New Testament. This isn't the Old Testament. This is God saying that he allows them to have these weapons to be able to keep people in check, to execute wrath, it says, of those who practice evil. Now, our government doesn't always do a good job of keeping those that want to terrorize us or do things away from us. As we've seen recently, they'll put them in prison and then let them out early, and then they go out and they do things that are worse than what was done in the first place. And there are a couple of those that are taking place right now that are in the news, and it's really kind of a sad thing. Verse 5, therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. It's not just because that you'd want to be subject so that you don't get shot or that the wrath doesn't come upon you, but for your own conscience. Before you came to Christ, you could do things and your conscience would never be struck. But once you came to Jesus, God did some things inside of you. He changed you. One of those things that he changed is he repaired your severed or your burned out conscience. And he gave you a softness once again to the things that you do that are wrong. So that when you do them, your conscience is struck and the devil knows that. And then he comes in and he assaults you. How dare you do that? You're not even a Christian. What are you doing going to church? You shouldn't even be talking about God. The devil just comes against you. And so you need to learn the passages. God's mercy is new every day. God's grace is, never going to run out. All those things that we need to apply because we've done something we shouldn't do and we need to have God's grace. But there's another way, and that is not to do it. You won't have your conscience attacked if you don't do what that thing is. And so that's what he's saying. He says, therefore, you must be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of you also pay taxes. Now, he simply says, pay taxes. A few years ago, there were a few people that ended up in the church that were running around telling people that they didn't have to pay taxes. Maybe you've heard of these people. Maybe you talked to some of them. They were saying that it is unconstitutional to pay taxes. That really, and if you don't pay your taxes, they can't do anything against you. If you claim that it's unconstitutional. If you don't pay your taxes and you claim that it's unconstitutional, you are going to become a very integral part of our prison ministry. We're going to go in and minister, and then when we go away, you'll stay there and you'll continue to minister in the prison ministry. Pay your taxes. It's always funny because they'll say, you know, I know somebody that has uncle, brothers, cousins, nephews, nieces, dad, and he didn't pay taxes. And it's never anybody that you know, and he's not in jail. If you don't pay your taxes, you will go to jail. Our government's fairly serious about these things, far more than any other things. And pay those things. Hey, you know, legally, go through as many loopholes as you can go through. Pay as little taxes as you can, legally. Did I say that already? Legally, get as many loopholes as you can. Pay as little as you can. Because personally, can I get just my personal opinion? Personally, I don't think they ought to raise our taxes anymore. I think they ought to use the money we're already giving them better. It is said that we work from January 1st to May 5th, May 10th, something like that, to pay taxes. That with all the taxes combined, we work that long to give them taxes. They need to spend that money better before they come back and try to raise. Personally, okay, that's personal, but pay taxes. Pay them, get caught up, keep them paid. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. These taxes help them to be able to do what it is that they do in caring for us. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs are due. This isn't like customs where you pay a fee to bring something into the nation, into the country. This is customs like different cultures that have different customs. Like if you know your friend from India and you have different customs, I learn your customs. And I give customs to whom customs are due. We don't have a lot of that, but we do have some of it. Fear to whom fear's due. Hey, when you be respectful, there are those that, you know, it's time to give them a position of fear. I, once again, speaking of our police officers, I have a few friends that are police officers, and I go on ride-alongs every once in a while, and I'm always amazed at their restraint. I really am. The things that they put up with that people say to them, I'm a pastor, and I'd have them locked in the back of the car going to jail. And they let them go. Now, maybe there's more restraint because they're with me. I don't know. But I listen to the things that they hear from this person, and I think, boy, you talk to me that way, and it is. We're throwing down. It's going to be done. But fear to whom fear and honor to whom honor. You know, when someone, saying good things about somebody isn't a bad thing. Flattery is. If you're just flattering somebody to get something from them, oh, you're a really good person. You're really, really good. Now help me, you know. Now side with me because I said you're a really good person. That's wrong. But honoring where honor's due, when someone does something that's good and right, and it's good to accept that, to receive it, and to give honor where honor is due. And then verse 8, this is going to be the last verse we cover. It's also going to be the first verse we cover next week. He says, owe no one anything except love. Now, that's very simple. If I walk in love towards you and I figure the only thing that I owe you is love, then I'm going to respond correctly to government. You're going to respond correctly to me. I'm going to respond correctly to you. Some have said that this verse means that you and I ought not to be in debt. And in the past, I've really kind of pushed that off. I'm starting to think more and more that this verse could be used that way. I know personally, I'm trying as much as I can to get out of debt. I understand it's better to have a mortgage than it is to pay rent, unless you pay too much for your house and you're way behind now. A couple years ago when the bottom fell out of it, now you owe more on your house than it's worth. And you know, I'm in that same boat too, by the way. It probably would have been better for you at that point to be ready, and you wouldn't be in the shape you're in now if that were the case. Nevertheless, I think when it comes down to debt, I think it's better to be completely and totally out of it, just as much as we possibly can. And as I said, for myself personally, I'm trying to get completely out of debt. It's going to take me 25 years, but I am going to finally myself get out of debt, and I just think you're in so much of a better position. Good economy, bad economy, if you don't owe anybody anything but love. And it just kind of keeps things open. But we're not going to talk a lot about that next week. We'll talk more about love. True story, and kind of a funny story, and a tragic story, all wrapped together in one. A couple years ago, there was a very vocal national pastor who would, on a regular basis, speak against homosexuals. That was kind of one of his things. You know, them homosexuals and homosexuals. He's always talking about homosexuals. Now, I've kind of found that when a pastor begins to talk about one pet peeve, if he's always talking about the evils of drinking, Or, you know, one pastor used to talk about girls coming to church in shorty pants. And he was always talking about shorty pants. I don't know where he came up with shorty pants, but eventually it was discovered that he was out cruising prostitutes. And so, you know, he was the one that had the problem with the shorty pants. And he talked about it all the time. This particular guy talked about homosexuals all the time, and sure enough, he was caught with a homosexual prostitute, and it was revealed that he had been struggling in the area of prostitution for a long time. Now, and I'm not going to give you his name. Some of you guys know who he is, but for the sake of not dredging this back up again for him, I don't want to give that name, but one of the local television casters wanted to find out how it was that we felt as a church about what was taking place. So he wanted to interview me. It was on a Sunday morning, and so I told him, I can do that, but I need to know what your questions are, and I'll meet you on our East Campus in between services. So I show up at church, and he's there, and we go through the interview. Now, he gets done with his three questions, and one of them was about politics, because this guy was also highly involved. His church was one of the churches that is involved in politics. It was on the right side. He was conservative, and he was on the right side and very involved in it. So he asked me, are you guys really involved in politics? And I said, no. Kind of the same thing that I told you guys earlier today, that the influence that we have been given by God is not to support politics in any way, but it is for the message of the gospel. And we feel strongly about that. So then he gets to the end of it, and he says, he doesn't have what he wants. He doesn't have what's going to have enough pop for the little blurb that's going to go on the news. And so he says, do you guys have homosexuals in your church? And he sticks the microphone in my face. Now, it's said that if you look up, you're lying. Did you know that? When somebody asks you a question and you look up, body language, you're lying. So when you talk to somebody and you ask them something, they go, liar. You are a liar, liar, liar. If they look down, they're thinking, supposedly. They're thinking, so now you know that you can fight against it. When somebody asks you, want to lie, you go, you can make up your lie. Well, when he asked me, do you have homosexuals in your church? My eyes shot directly right, as hard as they could. Do you have homosexuals in your church? I don't know what it was about. Maybe some of you in a body language could tell me what was happening. Maybe it was fear. Terror was striking my heart. Because you realize I'm on the record. This is going to be put on the news. I don't want them putting us out there as a church like we are against homosexuality. I don't want that. Like we're, you know, we teach against the evils of homosexuality. In fact, I believe that homosexual sin and heterosexual sin are the same in the sight of God. Somebody's in an affair with somebody. They're married and they're having sex with someone else. And they say, at least I ain't a homosexual. As if it's any better than what a homosexual is doing. It's all sin. It all needs to be repented from. One is not worse than the other. So I didn't want us to get labeled as a church that, you know, an anti-homosexual church. Just wanted to stay away from that. So I said, and this is true, I said, I'm sure we do have homosexuals in the church. And I'm sure we do. I'm sure we have people that come into the church that are homosexuals. And so he said, well, and then I was quiet on purpose. You have homosexuals in the church? Yeah, I'm sure we do. And he said, well, what do you ask of them? He put it back in my face. And I said, well, we ask of them the same thing that we ask of everybody else, that they get right with God and have a right relationship with him. Then he said, which means? He's trying to draw. He wants me to go, that they would no longer be homosexual. That's what he wants me to get up and say. And I said, which means that they have a right relationship with God and they maintain that right relationship with God. And so then we finish it up. And that night, I'm watching it because I'm on the news. I want to see what I look like on the news, right? If you're on the news, you do the same thing. Am I right? Or am I just vain? I don't know. So I'm all going to be on the news, so I want to watch it. And I'm watching it, and sure enough, they have my eye slamming to the left in this, or the right in this clip. But it was fair. It really was. They put it together. I've given interviews that weren't fair in the past to where they just completely manipulated what I said. But this one was fair. And then it got to the very end. And the little wrap-up statement, he said, Pastor Furrow says that although homosexuals are welcome in his church, politics isn't. And I thought, boy, that doesn't quite sound right, you know? Something doesn't quite sound right there. But honest to some degree, yeah, I want those that are involved in a homosexual lifestyle to come to church and hear the message of Jesus and find Christ and come into a relationship with Him. That is true. I also want politicians to do the same, by the way. So we'll allow the politicians to come in, even though we will not be involved politically. To sum up really what I think the heart of what we're talking about today is, from a pulpit, we don't want to be involved in these things. Interacting with each other. Hey, if you guys can talk about politics and do it in love, talk about differences that you have in love, responding properly to one another, then great. Talk about those things. I don't think there should be anything that we can't talk about. But if you can't do it in love, then don't do it. And certainly don't attack somebody because they believe something different, because you don't know where they are with Christ. You have no idea. Just this last year, some people on our East Campus found a car in the parking lot with a bumper sticker on it that was offensive. And it was connected politically. And it was offensive to me as well, by the way. It was an offensive bumper sticker. So they waited for the person to come out, and then they just kind of assaulted them. What they discovered was that this person was here for the very first time. This person came to want to know more about Jesus, and when they walked out, they end up getting attacked, and you may very well have stepped in and stopped God from being able to really touch their heart, because it's like, I'm not going to go there again because I got just absolutely assaulted in the parking lot. Walk in love. If you and I walk in love, there's going to be people that have different views. God is big enough to straighten people out. God's big enough to straighten them out, and God's big enough to straighten you out if you need to be straightened out. And if we can discuss those things in love, great, but man, we are not about politics. And it's happened a few times where people have said things to people here in the church that I think are inappropriate, that really should not have been said. Not, again, that we can't get involved in those conversations. That's fine. As long as we're operating in love, and then that's all right. And no, this pulpit will never be engaged in these things, you know, over my dead body, I said last night, which is another movie reference, but which may be the case, I don't know. You know, I may die and somebody else, you know, take over that's very political, but stop going if that's the case. All right. That would end up being a little direction from the grave from me. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us this direction as to how we are supposed to live and what we're supposed to be involved in. And we want to thank you that you have given us our responsibility to the government. And we want to join together and pray for our president. We do pray that you would give him wisdom and insight. We pray that he would make good and right and moral decisions about the direction that this nation will go. And we pray that he would be successful in helping this nation. And we thank you for the nation that we live in. We thank you for the roots that we have. We thank you for the Constitution that allows us the freedom to be able to gather together here. And Lord, thank you that we can be involved in the political aspects of what area we live in as a Christian, but that we have this in common with every Christian on the face of the earth, whether in Uganda or Colombia or Iraq or Israel, that we're about the gospel. We're not about who's in control or authority in those areas. We're about the gospel of Jesus Christ that is never changing and is the same as we cross border to border to border. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that practical Christian living helps you to live God's word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of practical Christian living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive. That's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.